Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
Very good evening to everyone and happy new year. This is the first edition, 7th of January. We thank God for how far He's brought us, and indeed it's always a privilege to come your way, and tonight is no exception. I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes and talk a little about a few news items, and then a new year, a few things to talk about it, and I believe God will next week we'll be continuing from there as well. Indeed, we always have to be grateful to God. You know, sometimes we tend to see some things as automatic. It's like as if you sleep, you should wake up. If you go, you should come. If you sit, you should get up. If you, you know, it's as if everything should work for us as we want. But we have to always remember that it is the mercies of God that has been with us. And that is what is also going to be with us. It's so important because sometimes we just ignore these things unconsciously. But I believe it's important we keep reminding ourselves that it is God. The God factor is what we need. And this year, indeed, we are going to need the God factor more than any other year. Because it's obvious things are not going to get any better. I mean, that's the world. So we just have to understand that we have to create our own reality and live thereby, live in it. And that's what tonight I'm talking about, living in our own reality, creating our own reality and living in it. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world. It doesn't matter what we are hearing, what we see and all that. We know who we are with and who is with us. And that is the most important thing. And I believe when we have a mindset that is fixed on God, then things will begin to fall in line with us or for us. You know, yes, it's important to pray, it's important to read the word, it's important to wait on the Lord, it's important to do all these spiritual things. But ultimately, if you are living in fear and you don't have trust in the Lord and all that, it undermines your faith ultimately. So it's important we renew our minds and know that God is with us. All right. Okay, so let's get, this evening's news is very short, so that I can have some time to talk about things from the Bible, because we need to really start the year with a lot of Word of God to build us up. And I believe that's what we need a lot this year, the word. Okay, so let's get moving with this first one. Says that TikTok, new crazy IT thing, the social media thing, and the headline is TikTok is digital fentanyl. Fentanyl is a drug that is really causing a lot of havoc in the US, killing the youth and all, do a lot of people. And so TikTok is quote-unquote digital fentanyl, or we can call it maybe example like cocaine or heroin or something like that. According to incoming GOP, that's the Republican China Committee Chair in the U.S. Congress. It says TikTok is an addictive drug China's government is providing to Americans, says the incoming chairman of the New House Select Committee on China. GOP Rep. Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin told NBC's Meet the Press in an interview that aired Sunday that he calls TikTok digital fentanyl because it's highly addictive and destructive. Underline, addictive and destructive. And we are seeing troubling data about the corrosive impacts of constant social media use. Let me repeat this whole sentence because it's so important. It's highly addictive and destructive, and we are seeing troubling data about the corrosive impact of constant social media use, particularly on young men and young women here in America. Well, he is in America, so he is limiting it to his sphere of area, I mean America. But in Ghana, it's happening. I mean, it's the same impact. It's destructive everywhere. And goes on to say that, and also because it effectively goes back to the Chinese Communist Party. Gallagher, whom House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy has appointed to chair the new select committee in the new Congress, has said that he believes the video app should be banned in the U.S. McCarthy is the apparent, last night he was voted to be the chairman, so let me skip that part. And then TikTok, whose parent company ByteDance is Chinese-owned, has been banned from electronic devices managed by the U.S. House of Representatives, according to an internal notice sent to House staff. Separately, the U.S. government will ban TikTok from all federal devices as part of legislation included in the recent bill, ominous bill, that was signed by the president. The move comes after more than a dozen states in recent weeks have implemented their own prohibitions against TikTok on government devices. And I remember very well that during President Trump's term as a president, he made suggestions that TikTok should be banned. And I believe now they are seeing the wisdom in it. Indeed, it's destructive. It's destructive because, you see, yes, there is video like YouTube concept, but the algorithm that TikTok is using seems to be a bit more intrusive in the human behavior than the way YouTube is. And that's how come the TikTok one is being classified as destructive, because the algorithm is really wild. I mean, it's really, really wild. And that's the danger. Sadly, they've done it, the Chinese company, they've done it. But the content that they watch or are allowed to watch in China is different from the content that is watched elsewhere. You know, the Chinese government has a strict standards, you know, protecting their cultural values and all that. So some things are kept out, are stopped. So they can't watch it in China behind their, you know, firewall systems. But elsewhere, you know, you can watch it and destroy yourselves. Kids are learning how to steal, I mean, Kia and Hyundai, for instance, in the U.S. are suffering massive thefts. I mean, people are just learning how to steal. They move the car from one, just steal for the fun of it, kids, teenagers. So they will steal it from Junction here, Spirit FM, and then drive it to the golf park and just leave it there and run away just for the fun of it. And they are not banning it. These videos are on a lot of destructive things, competitions or challenges. Go to your school, destroy school property, and then just video it. So kids will go to their school, the washroom, break a sink, open the tap, leave it, water is flowing, go to computer lab, break things, smash computers, run away, record it, just for the fun of it. And it's like, how should this be allowed? How? But, well, you know, that's the crazy part of the whole thing. And I believe this warning should go to Christian parents. Discourage your children. Discourage your children. Oh, yeah, they will tell you there are good things there. Of course, there are also good things there. But the usage, you should be doing it in moderation because it's addictive. Well, a quick one to the UK, where a UK woman arrested for praying silently outside abortion facility. So now the police have become thought police. What you are thinking, you can be arrested for it. Just before Christmas, a stunning video showed the arrest of one UK citizen who was silently praying near an abortion facility in Birmingham, England. And this went viral. Isabel Vaughan Spruce is a committed Christian, and for years she has made it a habit to pray for the protection of innocent human life in the womb as she walked past or stood outside abortion facilities. In November, police received a complaint about Vaughan Spruce and arrived at the scene to question her. Though Vaughan Spruce and the police officers involved were calm and respectful, the video of their conversation depicts a chilling violation of free speech and religious freedom. A police officer asks Vaughan Spruce, who is standing quietly on the sidewalk, "What are you doing here? What are you here for today?" Then she replies, "Physically, I'm just standing here." Then the police officer, "Okay, why here of all places? I know you don't live nearby." Then she replies, "This is an abortion center." Then the police again, "Okay, that's why you are standing here." And she replies, okay, she nodded. And then the officer, "So you are standing here, is your standing here part of a protest?" "No, I'm not protesting." That's the woman. Then the police officer, "Are you praying?" Then she replies, "I might be praying in my head, but not out loud." It is after this admission, the admission that she is silently prayed in her head, that Vaughan Spruce was asked to go to the police station for questioning. When she declined, she was arrested. The incident took place outside of BPAS Roberts Clinic in Kings Norton, Birmingham, and Vaughan Spruce was accused of violating a local public space protection order, PSPO. Free speech advocates have rightly labeled such PSPOs as censorship zones. Birmingham's PSPO expressly prohibits various free speech activities within a certain restricted area around the abortion facility, including peaceful assembly and giving women information on alternatives to abortion. Among the activities prohibited here are protesting, namely engaging in any act of approval or disapproval or attempted act of approval or disapproval with respect to issues related to abortion services by any means. This includes, but is not limited to, graphic, verbal or written means, prayer or counseling. Hey, prayer. Censorship zones around abortion facilities have been hotly debated across the UK in recent months. The threats to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly and freedom of religion from censorship zones are already evident in Vaughan Spruce's case. ADF International, a religious freedom legal advocacy group, is representing Vaughan Spruce. ADF's lawyers McLatchy told Nigel Farage in GB News that whether this PSPU itself is lawful under international human rights law, which protects freedom of religion, freedom of thought, conscience and belief, and freedom of speech, is another really important question in this case. It is disturbing that the insistence of some UK politicians on making sure women do not see or hear the thoughts of prayers of pro-lifers and Christians is leading them to potentially violate international human rights law. The pro-abortion activists have claimed that it is not Vaughan Spruce's silent prayer that provoked her arrest, but rather her violation of the PSPU. Yet, merely standing in the PSPU area is allowed. It was specifically the act of prayer that was not allowed under the PSPU, and that resulted in Vaughan Spruce's arrest. This is without question a religious freedom case. At its core, religious freedom encompasses the ability to hold and live out your faith. That is naturally includes praying in public, especially when your public prayer is done in the privacy of your own head. Free countries must diligently avoid the business of punishing Orwellian thought crimes. After her arrest, Vaughan Spruce stated, quote, "Nothing should be criminalized for thinking and for praying in a public space in the United Kingdom. And that's really, really, really bad that you are standing somewhere and they say, well, because you are praying in your head, you are violating. That's the world. That's the world. The hatred for godly things and Christian things is just on the ascendancy. Okay, this one is one of those statistics, census polls that they do in the U.S., but some of these things, I believe, largely reflects the general Christian behavior across beyond U.S. as well. That's why sometimes I read them. And this one is a Lifeway research. So, but the headline says, most churchgoers prefer prayer to Bible reading. This is according to a study. And this I know is also true in Ghana. Oh yes, if you want to really know why it is true, look at the attendance of prophetic prayer meetings. And it's like the room is full, overflowing. Let them say that, oh, there's a prophetic Bible study or Bible teaching something. And you see the people that would attend. Clearly, there's a difference. I mean, it's about prayer meetings. Hey, especially at the beginning of the year, like this, where they're in here. overflowing. All right, let's get moving. It says, most Protestant churchgoers in the United States spend time alone with God on a daily basis, but most talk to God through prayer rather than listening to Him through His Word, a new study has found. According to a study by Lifeway Research, 65% of Protestant churchgoers intentionally spend time alone with God at least daily, with 44% saying daily and 21% saying more than once a day. Meanwhile, 17% of churchgoers say they are alone with God several times a week, and 7% say once a week. Others said they spent time alone with God a few times a month, that's 5%, and once a month, 2%. Less than once a month, 3%, or 1%, never. They say never at all. Then we have Lifeway Research conducted the online survey of 1,000 Americans and using the National Prayer Recruited Panel. Then goes on to say that respondents were screened to include those who identified as Protestant, non-denominational, and attend religious services at least once a month. Most churchgoers, 83%, say they are more likely to talk to God through prayer than reading through the Bible or devotional. That is about 39% who say that. Most churchgoers pray in their own words, that's 83%, and then thank God, 80%, praise God, 62%, confess their sins, 49%. They don't confess their sins. Okay. An earlier discipleship study from the Lifeway Research showed that praising and thanking God is one of the top 5 predictors of high spiritual maturity. Scott McConnell, executive director of Lifeway Research, quote, say, this is a widespread practice among churchgoers when they are alone with God, unquote. Interestingly, out of the churchgoers that opted to read during their time alone with God, most said they would prefer to read from a physical Bible, 63%. Others would read from a Bible that includes additional commentary or devotional thoughts, 25%, or scripture from an app, 20%. Only 7% said they would read a devotional from an app. Researchers discovered that those with evangelical beliefs are more likely than those without evangelical beliefs to say they would read from a Bible. That's 78% compared to 52% if they were reading something in their time alone with God. With 40% young adult churchgoers ages 18 to 34 are the most likely to read scripture from an app, and the least likely to read from a devotional book that prints some scripture. That's 21%. Today's Christians have more resources than ever to aid them in spending time with God and His Word. McConnell said, as new resources are created, they can encourage someone who without that innovation wouldn't have spent time with God. But there is also a strong relationship between those spending time alone with God's Word, and worshiping frequently with others who may encourage you in your walk with God. females, 48%, are more likely than males, 38%, to make spending time with God a daily habit. And those in the South, 49%, are also among the most likely to say they spend time alone with God on a daily basis. The frequency of church attendance also impacted a time alone with God. The study found that those who attend church or worship services at least 4 times a month, that's about 26%, are more likely than those who attend 1 to 3 times a month to say they spend time alone with God more than once a day. We see a pattern in scripture of followers of God withdrawing to spend time alone with him. Jesus himself also did this, said McConnell. So most Protestant churchgoers continue this relational interaction with God and use a variety of resources as they do. A November study from Lifeway Research found that many attendees have yet to return to church since the COVID-19 pandemic, even as the vast majority of churches have resumed in-person services. On the average, pastors said attendance at their services in August was 85% of their Sunday attendance levels in January 2020. Similarly, the August edition of the State of the Bible, USA 2022, reports from the American Bible Society found that 40% of Generation Z adults ages 18 and older attend church primarily online. They were followed closely by 36% of churchgoers ages 77 and up. A previous study from Lifeway Research found a strong link between church attendance and evangelistic activity. The Never Actives were most likely to attend church less than once a month, that's about 46%, compared to the very active group, which is most likely to attend 4 times or more a month, 24%. In a recent interview with the Christian Post, pastor and author Max Lucado stressed the importance of attending church and criticized the apathetic attitude many professing Christians have towards church attendance in the aftermath of a pandemic. I think there are 1,000 reasons for us to meet in person, he said. Now, if somebody has health concerns, if their body or health is compromised, it's not time. God bless you, and I understand, but I am wanting to give a godly kick in the ramp to those who might just be a little bit lethargic. And that is it. The issues we find in these statistics is the fact that there is less attention when it comes to the word of God. And prayer takes preeminence. Yes, it's good to pray. It's important to pray. But praying with little word eventually makes you a shallow believer. And praying without the word, interacting without the word, knowing, spending time with God and yet not ready to listen to him or even wait on him through his word as well, is not a good balance. So we have a lot of believers who will readily pray for hours but cannot even spend 10 minutes in the pages of the word of God. And I think that is purely a false balance, because you see, it's all about, yes, talk about the prayer. A lot of the people are praying because of their needs. They have needs. They need this, they want this, they want this. They need God's mercies, God's blessings, God's protection, God this, God that, God that. So the whole motive is about what we want. That's why we are talking to God. And if the motive is purely becoming or is based on our needs and our wants, then one can safely assume that assuming or when we have our needs met, then the likelihood of we stopping prayer is also there. Because the whole relationship was based on what I will get from God. That's why I'm going to him. I'm waiting on God because of what he's going to give me. I'm waiting on God because of what I will get, the blessings I'll get from him. So if it's purely based on a one-way traffic because of my needs and what I will get, that's why I'm praying. Then if you get what you want, whether through God or any other means, you get it, then you don't need God again. And that is a worrying trend too we are seeing, because there is also a falling away. People are leaving the faith. People are not seeing the need why they should continue to be in church again. And just as this report of, I mean, the U.S. I read, I mean, post-COVID numbers dwindling, not only in Ghana, the same. But you see, the word of God should be our foundation. It should be the foundation of our relationship with God. So if we are spending time with God, it should be based on our word of God, the word of God that we have, our knowledge of it, and our interaction with God in prayer. But it doesn't mean we should neglect the word of God completely because we've prayed to God, we've spoken to God, then we don't need to read his word. No, that shouldn't be the case. So we should be mindful of the fact that, yes, let me narrow down to this first few days or weeks in the year. Prayer and fasting all over the place. Yes, prayer and fasting. But it is very obvious. In most cases, there is little or no word. Oh, yes. I mean, that's a fact. So you see believers who will spend the whole day praying, and no word. Not spent even 30 minutes to read. So they can conveniently spend several hours in the day praying because they are fasting, but will not have some few minutes even for the word of God. So you realize that then the whole thing is just about my needs and my wants for the year. So let me go and talk to God. He is the one who can provide. He is the one who can bless. He is the one who can protect. He is the one. Yes, no doubt about it. We need to pray. We need to trust in God. We need to depend on him. But we should also be careful not to let our needs override our desire for the word of God. And you see, it's amazing because the word of God also has the same things we are running to God and praying about. It's also in the word of God. And if we are to spend time in the word of God, we realize that God's promises are in the word of God. And that should be our foundation to even believe in God in prayer. You see, we think we just pray, we need prayer alone to get what we want from God. Forgetting that his promises are based on the word of God. So why do we just run away and leave the word and think we can just talk to God and not be ready to listen to him or he talking to us through his word as well? You see, so some of these statistics is a bit worrying. It's a bit worrying how, and see, it's not surprising because we are also seeing a lot of deceptive doctrines coming up these days all over the place. Because, you see, deceptive doctrines will thrive when there is little or no word in the people. Because there's no filter to be able to sieve out or filter out the deception. Because there's no basis of the word in the people and they are shallow. Anything that is thrown at them, they swallow. So you have all sorts of people saying all sorts of things, social media and all that. And because people have no word in them, and some of the things being said seems logical, then they fall for it. You see, so we should not ignore the word of God. We should not ignore the word of God. And I believe it's very important this year to be Bible-based Christians. We need the word of God. And we are going to need it even more. I'll be back. Let's listen to this beautiful song, Victoria Renzi, his album, one of the songs on this recent album that she did. Okay, I have it here.
I have an inheritance, and I will enjoy it. Your mouth needs to speak what you want to see. I will enjoy. I will enjoy. Hey. See, this is the year that the Lord has made. This year, don't you go higher than day. This year is a falling in place for me. This year, oh, the land will yield for me.
Walk.
Beautiful, beautiful song by Victoria Orenzi. You know, these are the type of things that really would inspire you when you listen to them as a believer. You sing. These are the words of God. Bible-based songs. You know, and I believe we have to create our environment, create our reality. Okay, so I was talking about creating our own reality, living in our own reality. And let me get into the book of Exodus, you know, because of time. So, but we all know the Exodus story where we start from the Moses was called the burning bush. He met Aaron. They went into Egypt. And then the plagues started. God wanted to show Pharaoh that he is God. So hardens his heart. And then various plagues, you know, frogs, blood into water into blood, hail, locusts, darkness, and all that. At the end of the day, he still was hardened and refused until eventually firstborn deaths triggered they being pushed out. But the interesting thing is, you know, the Israelites were in Goshen, which is still in Egypt. But you realize that when you read the word of God, it states clearly that the things that the Egyptians faced, the Israelites were not facing it. You know, so let me, Exodus chapter 11, for instance, the verse 7 says that, the 6, and there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. 7, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And preceding this, you know, the killing, the locusts, destroying the things, the frogs, all those things, the Egyptians were spared. Sorry, the Israelites were spared, though they were in Egypt. So they were living, technically you can say that they were living in a different reality. So maybe when they go to work, then their taskmasters will come and see what they experienced last night or what they are experiencing. Or when they turn on the news, then they will see, hey, this is what is happening on the Egyptian side. But they were in Egypt, but they were not seeing it. They were hearing and seeing it in reported events, as reported events, reported news. But they were not experiencing it because they were living under a different reality. A God-created reality. So God himself was their provider, their defender, provider, everything. You see, sometimes when we read the word of God, we can easily read stories like the Moses, Abraham, all these things, as if it's just history gone, long past history. But that is a great error. If as a believer you read the word of God in that context of it just being history and it's not having relevance in our life today, because the same God who did those wonders, his mighty hand that did those wonders in Egypt and through the Red Sea into the wilderness, that same God is the one you and I worshipping. So if he was able to do these things, God, the word of God says these things were written for us anyway. So why is it that we struggle to accept the reality that if God did it, he can do it again? If he did it for them, then he can do it for us. Even let's even look at it critically. These people didn't even have the Holy Spirit in them. these Israelites. They didn't have any Holy Spirit with them. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. So are we not even in a better position to experience God's presence with us, just as he's been with those of old? You see, so it shouldn't be like, well, it was them. But for us, we have to struggle on our own and hustle and all that. No, we have to change our mindsets. We have to renew our minds regarding the word of God. You know, for those on my broadcast list, I sent this list during a movie, I believe. It's on YouTube. I sent it to my broadcast list then during the Christmas time. And you watch this movie, it's very challenging. It really challenges your faith, because this little boy, he's 8 years or 9 years or so, something like that, walks into a church and asks the pastor, God, does God still do miracles? And the pastor struggles to answer. He's like, well, he did it then, you know, but now, you see, and that is the Christianity we've created for ourselves now, that yes, it's old school, it's past tense. Yes, God did those things then. But now, you know, well, like we try to separate the God of the Bible era and the God of computer age era. So God was able to do it then. But now, since we had electricity and we have internet and, you know, maybe digitization and things, so now God is limited in doing miracles. So we would justify why we cannot experience God's miracle, God's hand, whatever, on our lives and in our lives. So we would conveniently conclude that we have to push ourselves and do things on our own, because God cannot do it for us. But see, but these are all deceptive strategies of the enemy that he pushes. These are lies from the enemy that he pushes. Unfortunately, sometimes some pastors even fall for it. So I believe, as listeners of this program, as we are talking this evening, let's have a different mindset for this year. Let's create our own reality. Creating our own reality means that we have a relationship with God. Because if you read through Exodus, whilst the hand of God was moving the miracles, the plagues, and all through the Red Sea and all that, there's one striking common denominator. Everything was hinged on the relationship between Moses and God. A relationship. There was a relationship between Moses and God. And the next question is, oh yes, but that was Moses. But we should also ask ourselves, can we not also have a relationship with God? Is it that we are limited? We cannot have a relationship with God, that God would be with us, God will help us, God will provide for us, God will protect us, God will deliver us. He's not limited. His hand is not short. That same mighty hand that did wonders in Egypt thousands of years ago, that same mighty hand is capable of doing wonders in Ghana today. In Ghana this year. In your life, in your family, in your business, in your ministry, whatever. But oftentimes we limit God. He is not limited. He is still who he is. But we see him in a lesser way, in a lesser position, and we limit his ability to do things in our life because we do not believe. That's the bottom line. It's about the belief. The belief. Do we believe that the same God in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, is the same God with us now? If we believe, then we should be able to live accordingly. But the issue is we don't believe unconsciously. It's like sometimes we just say we are, but sometimes we don't believe. People are fasting, praying, oh, it's good. But I can tell you there are some people who are fasting and praying and moving around all and shouting and all that. But they don't believe. So ask yourself, there are people who have prayed all the years. Last year, they prayed and fasted. Last year, the last 3 years, they've been doing it. But their lives are still the same. No change. Sometimes even getting worse. They are going backwards. They are getting poorer. They are struggling. Things are even not going well for them after they've even fasted for a whole... They've been doing it a whole month, 21 days. They've been doing it over and over and over. But nothing is changing. Is it that God is not hearing them? That's what God is there. But the question is us. We are the problem. We are the problem. If we don't believe he can do it, we will scream for all we care. I mean, nothing will happen. But the belief system, we are not believing God can do things. It's so easy. We say, yes, we are believers. We are Christians. We speak in tongues. We do this. We do. But the bottom line is, do we believe in God? Do we believe that God can do things for us? That's the starting point. So if we are not believing, then there's no need fasting and praying. Because if you don't believe that God is going to answer it for you, then why are you fasting and praying? You see, so unconsciously, we can easily create some of these things to be just routine schedules. We are just doing it. Everybody, they say we should do. We are doing, beginning of the year, we are fasting, we are praying. But pause and ask yourself, do you believe in the prayers you are praying? Do you believe that God can help you create your own reality, your own environment in the midst of whatever? You would live in a different reality. You see, let me give an example. I mean, like, if you go to Accra, there are parts of Accra where it officially is not really like a designated. There's no official name. Like, the normal names is airports, I mean, Ridge, cantonments and all. But there are portions where we have the high commissions, the embassy staff and all that. They are around some areas. Those places designated as the high commission or ambassador's residence or whatever. It's in Ghana, Accra. Yes, but once you enter those walls, they cease to be technically in Ghana because they become the premises of whichever country that diplomat is working for. So once you enter that premises, the atmosphere is, of course, the same air and the same sun, but the circumstances, the systems, everything they use in there is not the same as it is outside the walls. And that's, so they are in Ghana, but they are living in a different reality. That's the example of how it is. They are living in a different reality. And when they sit in their cars and they are moving, CD, red license plate, they have immunity on the roads. The police cannot stop them and, you know, do whatever, except in a real exceptional case. There are conditions under. So they have immunity when they are in their car, red license plates, they move. They are in a different reality. And that is how it is with diplomats in any country. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are also supposed to create our different reality wherever we find ourselves and live in that system where it is God who provides for us, it is God who protects us, it is God who delivers us, it is God. Everything is the God factor. And because we believe he will do it, because his word has assured us that he will do it, we hold on to his word, then we are able to experience a different reality. It starts from the mind. We have to believe, we have to decide that we are going to create a different reality this year. I'm saying these things because we will need to live in a different reality at a point in time this year. Oh yes. Because all the indicators are clear. You know, last year was a
a foreshadow of what is coming this year. So we don't have to wait before you warm, I mean, things unfold before now you are looking for God. Now that the year has started and we are moving on the low key, looks like things are normalized and all, this is the time to really build your faith and get ready. Yes. Yes, because the season is very deceptive. I'm saying it in a parable way. The season is very deceptive. Looks like all is well, but spiritually all is not well. So this is the time to start building our goshens in our homes and in our businesses, in our whatever. This is the time to build a reality, different reality. You just don't set up a different reality over one day, just suddenly. You build it. You build. Your faith builds. You create a real different reality by working on it. Building your relationship with God. Prayer. The word. You build it. You work on it. You build your faith. You believe. You believe. Believing in God sometimes can be very difficult because sometimes it looks like, this thing I believe, but nothing is happening. You don't stop believing because you believed once and nothing happened. You keep believing. You keep believing. You keep believing. It will work. You see, so we have to start building our faith. We have to start creating our reality, different realities now. Because, you see, the year has started. And we are going to need God. Yes. As the year progresses, God willing, we'll be talking more. But we are going to need God. For now, it will look like, we can do things on our own. Well, yeah, for now, maybe. You think you can do things on your own. But it will not be, after a few months, you will see that you need God. And we are going to need God. So don't wait till the time when we really need God before you now start calling on Him. Start calling on Him now. And build your help so that He will help you to build your different reality, your Goshen, where the Israelites were in Egypt. They had a different lifestyle, just like a diplomat living in cantonments or East Legon or airport or wherever. They live in a different reality. Oh yes, they live in a different reality because they are in the country. But the economy of the country doesn't really affect them because there are embassies, there are some high commissioners and embassies, depending on the country, where even some food items are brought from their countries periodically. So they are in the country, all right, but they enjoy a different lifestyle. Yes. Duty-free shop is there for them. They go and buy things without tax. I mean, all those things. You see, so they are living in a different reality. And that's how we should encourage ourselves and start building a different reality as well. God, next week I'll be continuing along this line. You know, if you have time, I mean, let's make time. Not that if you have time, let's read the word of God, the book of Exodus. Take time, study it. Because we are going to have a lot of parallels like that where it's God who would be with us, God who will provide for us, is God who will deliver us in the midst of the evil and all that. God is the one who will take us through the difficult times. So let's read the book of Exodus. Read, study it, take time. God will show you things, God will reveal things to you. You get prayer points in it and all. Let's have a different attitude to God's word this year. And I believe He Himself would empower us. He Himself will guide us. He Himself will deliver us. He will provide for us. Oh yes, He will provide. He will provide because we are going to need Him. We are going to need Him. And as believers, there should be a difference. And I like the verse I read where God says that He says that the Lord that puts a difference, that's the Exodus 11:7, He, God, will put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. There should be a difference between us, the believers, and the unbelievers. There should be a difference. There should be a difference. But that difference doesn't come automatically. We have to create that atmosphere for God to create that difference for us. And that is based on that relationship with Him. We cannot just live carelessly anyhow and then expect that when we are in crisis, then He will come and make a difference between us and the world. No. It doesn't work that way. The relationship is the foundation upon which God will use to create a different reality for us. All right. So I'm Eben, and God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. This program recorded will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. It will also be on the Telegram group. And then this week I spoke on the morning show regarding the Spirit Digital, Spirit FM Digital. It's a new system, digital channels and online. So the Word plus Spirit Word plus 7 p.m. Monday evening, this program will be repeated there as well. 7 p.m. Monday evening, spiritfmdigital.com under the Word plus channel. So good night and God bless you. I believe this year we are going to depend on God. Yes, we are going to depend on God. All right, so good night, and we'll talk more.
You were walking it. He shed his blood.